Hello, everyone. This is Whitney with the Conferences for Women. Thanks so much for joining us today for our teleclass, Your Next Career Move Now, with Julie Schiffman. Check your inbox. You were sent an email yesterday with a link to slides from today's presenter. If you'd like to follow along, I invite you to do so, but you're by no means at a disadvantage if you are not in front of your computer. So to introduce Julie, she is an inspirational award-winning speaker, author, and business owner. Julie believes in every woman's ability to challenge herself and to grow, as Julie herself continues to do. Through the story of her own personal transformations, from ballerina to law partner to stay-at-home mom to business owner, and through the stories of the remarkable women she has interviewed, Julie energizes women to live their best lives. Julie is the author of Act 3, Creating the Life You Want, and has also created a documentary film featuring many of the incredible women profiled in her book. You can learn more about Julie and purchase her book at www.act3.com. And Julie, with that, I'd love to pass this over to you to kick off your next career move now.
Thanks so much, Whitney, and I'm really, really pleased to be here this afternoon and to share thoughts on how you can use small stepping to reach your goals. I want to begin by telling you a story about a woman who so totally inspired me. I had the privilege of interviewing about 100 women for my book, and I took my top 11 stories, the ones that I really liked the most, and put them in the book. And when people read the book, oftentimes they'll say, Julie, who is your favorite? And I like to ask them the same question. Well, almost universally, it is Sarah Pollock. And Sarah is the consummate small stepper to make and reach her goals. So let me just tell you very briefly about Sarah. She is 102 years old. Yes, you heard that right, 102. And she has kept small stepping her way to her goals throughout her whole life. She became a widow in the Depression with just a four-month-old baby and had to literally go to work to support herself and never got to go to college. And yet, at age 40, she finally decided, okay, now I'm going to go to college. And she goes to college, she gets a degree, and then she doesn't stop there. Her dream her whole life had been to be a speech pathologist. So she decides, you know what, at age 48, I'm going to get my master's because you need a master's to be a speech pathologist. And she finally reaches her dream at age, let's say, 50. And she didn't stop there. At age 75, she decided to go to get her PhD in speech pathology. And she finally got it at age 78. And what Sarah told me was that the highlight of her whole life was when she had to defend her dissertation to her faculty committee, and they asked her to wait outside. She goes to wait outside, and her faculty advisor comes out and says to her, congratulations, Dr. Pollock. At age 78, at the University of Wisconsin, she's the oldest person ever to get a PhD. Now, that is somebody who's small steps throughout life, and her closing words to me, I just have to pass on to all of you, were that she said, I tell my children, my grandchildren, and my great-grandchildren not to mourn me when I'm gone because I have fulfilled my life, and how many people get to do that? Very, very profound words from Sarah, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about her because oftentimes what I hear from people, they'll say, I'm too old, Julie. I can't, you know, continue to do new and exciting things. Well, you know what? She did it at 78. So however old you are sitting there on the call, you've got many, many more years left. So let's talk a little bit about the two reasons why using small steps, which means incremental steps, to reach your goals work. The first reason, and this is the first slide if anybody is in front of their computer, is that you can avoid the feelings of hopelessness that you might get by having to tackle a huge goal. You might have heard the story like how you eat an elephant. Well, the way you eat an elephant is one bite at a time. That's the same way that you can accomplish tackling a huge goal without having these feelings of hopelessness. Some of you may have watched the TV show The Biggest Loser. This is one of my favorite shows on TV. I love watching these enormous people trying to tackle, to me, insurmountable obstacles. You know, they have all this incredible weight to lose. And what's so incredible is that up until the point where they show up on the TV show, they clearly had no motivation. And then suddenly they're supposed to do this amazing thing. Well, one day, this was last season, at the very beginning of the season, a contestant had 300 pounds to lose. And he says to Bob, the trainer, how can I possibly lose 300 pounds? He says, my God, that's like losing an entire person. And Bob turns to him and says, we don't have to worry about that. All we have to worry about and think about is what you need to do today. That's such a perfect example of small stepping. If that huge goal is overwhelming and you just feel hopeless, you want to give up. So instead, you can use this small stepping to just think about, what do I have to do today? It's also really easy if you convince yourself that, you know what, to get there is just too huge. I can't possibly get to that big goal. So it's such a wide gulf, I think I'll just give up. Instead, if you look at it like, what is just a step that I need to take? For example, if you want to go back to work, if you've been a stay-at-home mom, if you want to change jobs, anything in the career field, what is one little step you have to take? Maybe you need a new resume. Well, that's not so overwhelming. You can look at it, okay, I need a new resume. Or maybe I need to do some market research about the field of art therapy because I might want to be an art therapist. Okay, I can set that. I can say tomorrow I'm going to sit down and I'm going to start Googling art therapy and figure out if that's something that might be appealing to me. So that's the first reason small stepping works, is that you can avoid those feelings of hopelessness of trying to tackle this very, very big goal. This is the next slide now. The second reason that small stepping works is that it allows you to get comfortable with each step along the way. If any of you have ever been to a cocktail party where you didn't know anyone there, and you feel really uncomfortable as you're like looking around the room trying to find anybody to talk to, and you know that feeling of uncomfortableness where your heart's maybe pounding a little bit and maybe you break out into a little bit of sweat, humans are hardwired to feel comfortable. If we don't feel comfortable and we get those heart palpitations and sweat going and our stomach's acting up a little bit, we're going to do everything we can to get out of that situation. To avoid that, if you take a little step, something that isn't that uncomfortable, you don't have those horrible things occur to you, and you're going to stick with it. We know these feelings of anxiety and discomfort are natural if you try to do too much too fast. Instead, just taking this one step at a time, easing your way to your goal, you're going to have a much, much higher chance of success of actually reaching the goal. All right, so those are two reasons why small stepping works. Let's move to the next slide. How do you actually go about doing this? Well, the first thing you do is you have to figure out, what is your long-term goal? Go back to my Biggest Loser. You know, that long-term goal for that contestant, he had to lose 300 pounds. Let me tell you about my long-term goal. When I first started the company, my company Act 3, I knew I wanted to help women figure out what they wanted to do next in life. And my long-term goal was, I knew I would achieve success if I was sitting on Oprah's couch and she was interviewing me about how I had helped women achieve their success. That, to me, was this huge goal out there. I had no idea when I started the company way back in 2008, how would I ever get there? And of course it seemed overwhelming. So first you set the long-term goal, and maybe for you it's again, you know, switching careers. That's a pretty big goal. Now that you got it there, just ignore it. You have to have the goal, but now completely ignore it. Throw it out the window. It's gone. Then ask yourself, what do I need to do in the next month, just the next month, to move towards that goal? And actually make a list. Sit down and make a list. What are the things I need to do in the next month to reach that goal? So for me, the first month, when I first started the business, I had to come up with a name. It wasn't called Act3. I had to do branding work, come up with a name. Then I had to trademark the name. Then I had to set up a corporation. I had to come up with financials. I had to even think about, what are the offerings? How will I help these women? That was my list for my very first month. Each and every one of those things was on a list. Then each month, you simply redo the list. You cross off, okay, I got my corporation set up. I have my trademark, whatever. And you add new steps for the next month. If to you a monthly list seems too overwhelming, then scale it back to a week. Maybe a week seems doable. What do you need to do in the next week just to move towards your goal? If a week's too much, maybe what do you need to do in the next couple days? Think of Bob saying to that contestant, what do we need to do today? Don't worry about the rest. How many miles do we have to run today to move forward? It doesn't matter how many small steps ahead you're planning, whether it's a day, a week, a month. It just matters that you actually plan them, and then you keep going. You keep moving forward. So let's say, again, you want to go back to work. I'll use that as an example. Let's say you start the list. Okay, what are the things you need to do in the next month to move towards that long-term goal? Well, maybe in the next month, one of the things you have to sort out is, who would be there to meet the bus as your children get off at 3 o'clock if you went back to work? All right, maybe that's got to go on the list. Second, maybe you need that new resume. All right, what does a resume look like today? How do you research it? Do you hire, you know, somebody like Act 3? We write resumes, or do you do it yourself? Says maybe you need a resume. Maybe you need some new interviewing clothes. Maybe that needs to go on the list. The key is creating that list and then following through. So, last slide. I want you all to get started. Think about this now. What is that long-term goal? So take out a piece of paper and actually put at the top, what is my goal? And most of you hopefully have that at your top of mind. So write that down. And now the next thing I want you to do that might take a little more thought is just, what is one thing you need to do right now to move towards that goal? Just one thing. And I want you to write that down on that piece of paper and commit out loud to me, as if I could hear you, that you're going to do that one thing. One thing's not so hard. And now that you have your one thing written down, when you do that one thing, you're going to feel good about yourself. You're going to feel like you're moving in the right direction. And hopefully then you'll start taking those small steps and making that small step list to reach your goals. So I'm going to close with, I just want to tell you all, I hope you'll visit my website and sign up for my newsletter. Every month I'll send out great tips of interviewing and how to use volunteering to get a job, lots of different good tips, and you'll even get two free chapters from my book by just signing up for our newsletter. I look forward to connecting to all of you, and I know we have had some questions that have been sent in to us. So, Whitney, let's go through some questions.
Fantastic. Thank you, Julie. So the first question is, what suggestions do you have for those of us who have already reached a point of feeling helpless in our next move? a rock bottom per se?
I wish I knew what the questioner's next move was, because it's a whole lot easier to answer a question like that by saying, okay, here's how I can help you think about that. But just in general, if you're out there and you're feeling absolutely helpless and hopeless, and putting aside that there might be a mental health reason for that, because, you know, clearly I'm not a psychologist, I do think that having a goal and moving towards a goal, even if you're doing it just a few steps at a time, each time you reach and accomplish something, it boosts your self-confidence and you start to feel better about yourself that, you know what, okay, I said I was going to get that resume done and I got it done. So now I'm going to feel more confident that I can take the next step, which might be I need to do informational interviews with three people. Well, that's really scary, but, you know, I'll try one. So that would be my suggestion on that.
Great. Our second question is, I'm a stay-at-home mom and former political professional. How do I stay sharp and connected?
I'm so glad to hear that question, because many, many of the clients that we work with at Act 3 are stay-at-home moms that come to us at the point in time when they're ready to go back to work. And to think about it ahead of time, to stay connected, is so critical to making your back-to-work process smoother. So here are my suggestions. Whatever industry you were previously in, stay involved and connected. If there's a trade group, stay on their newsletter list. Perhaps even write articles for them so that your name stays top of mind in that group. Attend any meetings or conventions you can go to. Stay connected to your former colleagues. It's really easy when you become a stay-at-home mom. You're so caught up with not only your children, but your children's activities, you know, your children's soccer games and, you know, your children's plays that you have to go to, that you tend to lose track of your prior associates. Don't let that happen. You're going to need those people someday. And so stay connected in terms of maybe go out to lunch with them, you know, every 6 months or so. It's not that hard if you make a constant effort to do that. And in addition, absolutely stay current on your technology skills. When I did a survey for my book and I asked women across the country before I wrote the book, what are the things that are going to hold you back? The number two answer was technology skills, because they didn't feel like they could go into an office environment and, you know, maybe they knew how to do email but didn't know what an Excel spreadsheet was. So absolutely, just because you're at home, stay current on all new technology.
And what a great lead-in for the next question, speaking of technology, which is, Julie, how do you see tools like LinkedIn or other social media contributing to the process of creating a new career for yourself?
I don't know about using them to create a new career, but boy, is LinkedIn good for getting a job. So anybody who is looking for employment absolutely has to have a very professionally done LinkedIn profile. When I say professionally done, I don't mean that you have to hire somebody to do it. I mean it needs to look professional, including a professional headshot. That is something that's important. Because any employer who is even considering doing an interview with you, they are going to look you up on LinkedIn. They're not just going to look at your resume. So you want that profile to look great. Second, you can use LinkedIn, as many of you already are, I'm sure, to find job opportunities. If you're going to go in for an interview, you look up who you're interviewing with on LinkedIn, and you can find out all about them. So before you even meet with the person, you may have realized that you both like bowling. Well, what a great way to connect with somebody in an interview when you can talk about bowling. So LinkedIn is absolutely critical today in a job search.
Great. What tips could you provide on helping to keep oneself accountable during the process that you described? There are so many distractions, such as family, and it's easy to get sidetracked and put what we want to do next in our lives off to the side.
Accountability is such an interesting concept because some of us are hardwired that if we say we're going to do something, it absolutely gets done. Others of us are a little different that way. And if we don't have a boss, which if you're a stay-at-home mom, you don't have a boss, actually saying, here's your deadline, things slip through the crack, whether it's because, you know, other things seem to be more fun or you didn't feel like the goal was that important for whatever reason. So if you're the kind of person, and you all know who you are out there, who often commits to things and doesn't see them through, you absolutely have to set up an accountability system. What that means is somebody who's out there that you're reporting to say whether or not you accomplished what you said you would. Now, there's a variety of ways you can do this. You can start with an accountability partner. That might be a friend who you give permission to follow up with you. So you say to your friend, okay, here's what I want to get accomplished. Maybe it's, you know, I want to lose 15 pounds, or maybe it's I want to be employed in the next 3 months. Whatever that goal is, you say to your friend, I want you to check in with me every 2 weeks and find out what I've done in the past 2 weeks and what I'm planning for the next 2 weeks in order to reach that goal. Now, I suggest you don't use your spouse for this purpose. We have enough interactions with our spouse on perhaps non-pleasant topics that you don't want to add this dynamic to a marriage. So pick a friend whose opinions you value, and you can use the friend that way. If you don't have a friend, or even if you do, a coach is an excellent accountability partner. Many of our clients use our coaches but as a way for them to be reporting in so that we can talk them through how to reach their goals. So coaches can be very helpful. And if you don't want to do either of those, but you still need the accountability, there's actually websites. There's one called stick.com, S-T-I-K-K. I think there's two Ks.com. And if you go on there, you're going to see people that throw their goals out there, like, I need to finish my treatise in 3 months, or I need to prepare for this presentation. And people put their goals up there. They say when they're supposed to get them done, and you have to put money up. And if you don't reach your goal, the money goes to charity. So that's a third way. If you want to be slightly anonymous and yet have the whole world holding you accountable, you can use these kind of websites.
Great. So, Julie, the last question is, where do you see networking fitting into the process of creating your next move?
Networking is probably the most important component of changing jobs, getting a new job, becoming reemployed after being at home. So the purpose of a resume today, it's really a sales piece. It's a sales piece to sell you, the brand, into a job. And really it's just about, can I get that hiring person to allow me to interview? That's it. So that's what the resume's for. But to get the resume to the right person who's really going to look it over, that takes networking. And we have found in our company about 90% of our clients find jobs through networking, and 10% have found jobs online. So, but what happens is when people go for a job search, the easy thing to do is spend hours and hours and hours and hours on the computer applying for jobs, a Career Builder or Monster or any of those ways, because that's a whole lot easier than it is to network. But I can tell you, it is not effective. You have to have a networking plan. That means that when you're sitting at your son's baseball game and you're sitting next to a parent, you have to use that time to tell the person what you're looking for. You never know. That other mom or dad, their cousin, maybe the head of the company you're trying to get into. So there's that kind of networking, what I call offline networking. And then, of course, there's online networking, which we already mentioned, using, you know, websites like LinkedIn. The key is to do this consistently. It can't be scattershot. So let's say I mentioned you meet somebody at the baseball game. Let's say his name's Bob. Okay, so now you're networking with Bob. But you don't just stop with Bob, because Bob may not have a job for you. You have to ask Bob, Bob, do you have three people that I can talk to? And then Bob, let's say he refers you to Deb and Patty. So now you go to Deb and Patty and you ask, do you have people? But of course you've got to get back to Bob to thank them for connecting you to Deb and Patty. If you don't have this written out on a spreadsheet, you can't keep track, and people are going to fall through the cracks, because just thanking everybody that's helped you is so critical. So create that networking spreadsheet so you can stay on top of all of this.
Great. Well, Julie, thank you so much for joining us today for our teleclass, and thank you, everybody in our community, for calling in. Really appreciate your time and your expertise and insight, and there will be a recap posted to our website in the next couple of days, so please keep your ear out and eye out if you would like to listen to this call again. Thanks so much.
Thank you.